This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This is Metroscope, an Entercom Radio Portland public affairs program. I am your host, Preston Highfield. Joining me on Metroscope this episode are three guests from Foster Plus: Susan Midland, Angel Zamora, and Nick Gallo. And for those not familiar with Foster Plus, it is a collaborative effort between 13 nonprofit organizations to bring more foster parents into the foster care system. Each nonprofit serves kids in the foster care system who are often in need of extra support, extra guidance, and extra love. The goal of Foster Plus is to work as one group to ensure the state of Oregon has enough foster homes to care for these kids. Now let me tell you a little bit about each of the guests today. Introducing Susan Midland. Susan has supported youth in the Oregon foster care system for 10 plus years. During the day, she worked with children who have been in foster care and need a more long-term solution through adoption or family reunification. Outside of work, she is a foster parent where she cares for teenage boys between 12 and 18 years. Angel Zamora is currently in the Oregon foster care system and lives with her foster mom. She is 19 years old and has been in foster care since she was a young child. Angel has participated in panel discussions and conversations about foster care to encourage other people to become more involved in the foster care system. And finally, Nick Gallo. Nick is the executive director of Youth Progress Association, which is another member of the Foster Plus Collaborative. Nick has spent decades working to help kids in foster care. After graduating from Portland State University with a master's in social work, he spent his first 4 years at the Oregon Department of Human Services. Since then, he has overseen programmatic decisions involving child and family welfare at nonprofits in Portland. He's been the executive director at Youth Progress for 1.5 years. Welcome, everybody, to the show. Thanks for coming in, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank we're you. Super excited to have you. So, Nick, let's start with you. If you could just kind of explain Foster Plus in your own words and then some of the foster care statistics in the state of Oregon here.
Yes, thank you, Preston. So in the state of Oregon, there is an ongoing effort to recruit qualified and capable foster parents to be able to meet the needs of the over 8,000 children in Oregon's foster care system. The Foster Plus Collaborative is a group of nonprofit organizations working together to bring in specialized foster parents who can better serve the needs of youth who need additional support or kind of the 24/7 support that our organizations are able to provide.
I mean, a lot of listeners probably have some kind of idea of what foster care is, but could you kind of tell us why children enter the foster care system, just kind of starting from the ground level?
Yeah. So the unfortunate reality is that there are many kids in our community who are living in situations where they may experience a little bit of abuse or neglect. And when somebody in the community, law enforcement, teacher, neighbor, sees somebody experiencing abuse, they are able to make a report into what's called the Child Welfare Hotline. Where the Department of Human Services then goes out and does an investigation to identify if the child is living in what would be deemed a safe environment. And at times when a home is considered unsafe, a child would be placed into foster care when there isn't enough family support in place to be able to stabilize the family situation. Upon making that decision then, the case has to be presented before a judge in court within 24 hours to make sure that it makes sense for that child to be placed outside of their home.
Uh-huh. Well, you kind of alluded to it there, but how do kids get here primarily, and then they enter the system with different needs and come from different backgrounds? So how does Foster Plus help these kids with all kinds of different needs?
The state of Oregon and Child Protective Services makes every effort to provide supports to keep kids safely at home with their parents whenever possible. When unable to, they'd happen to relative and family support. Often the aunties or the cousins or the uncles who are able to be, you know, part of that natural family support.
Mm-hmm.
At times, there isn't a local resource available for the kids, and so youth are placed with foster parents who've been willing to open their hearts and homes to kids who aren't their biological children. So the state makes a decision as to where to place the young person or the siblings, as time progresses, the unfortunate reality again is that many kids end up growing up in the foster care system, and so Foster Plus is really designed to serve youth who have kind of the additional supports needed to be able to do well, having experienced multiple foster homes or multiple foster care placements.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Angel, you started and entered foster care at a young age, 13 homes before you turned 13, if I have that correct. That's pretty crazy and kind of a unique experience, or at least I would hope. Could you tell us a little bit about your personal experience?
So I entered foster care when I was a newborn. I was in and out with relatives and also strangers to me. And most of them were bad experiences. I didn't get along with either. I didn't get along with them, or I wasn't accepted. And recently, I was put in care with my mom, Zoe. Before I was put with her, or put in her care, there were some homes that they thought it was just a bed that I needed instead of love and support. And I didn't really grow from that. I didn't graduate high school on time, and now I'm trying to get my GED.
Susan, you've been a foster parent for 5 years. What do you usually see when children are placed into your home?
Scared, nervous, sometimes really tough exterior. In our home, we try to offer meet the basic needs at first. It sounds very simple to do, but other kids could probably speak on it that their basic needs get met, then they have the stability, they know that they're going to be cared for in a manner that's respectable. Then it moves into, building that trust, and so that you could, and then they trust you to talk with you, so it helps them grow. But it's the consistency, it's the structure, meeting those basic needs that helps them start to grow. From what I've seen, I'm not sure, they don't always tell you that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of kids that come into care, like Nick spoke about. We just try to get them stabilized so that they can focus on excelling in school or meeting whatever they need to do. And did I hit it?
Yeah, no, that's great. Let's go back to Nick if we could. So there are, a lot of youth who move around to a lot of different homes, which I imagine is really kind of challenging for them. Why does that happen so often? Why do you see kids who are moving from 5, 6, 7, maybe even more different homes before they're even in high school?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think part of it is that the foster care system was really designed around an adoption model where, infants, babies, even, little 1 and 2 year olds need somewhere safe to be. And are looking for that forever home and somebody who can adopt them and take care of them for the rest of their life. And what happens then is that kids who are, maybe a little bit older than that, even 7, 8, 9, or even, 12 and 13-year-olds come into the foster care system. And if they're unable to return to their parents for, whatever reason, the system isn't really designed to have somebody enter in foster care at 9 and exit out at 18 and, have the state be their parental guardian over that time. And so there are a lot of efforts being made, locally and nationally to kind of rethink the way in which teens are supported in the foster care system. There are a lot of organizations involved in trying to make sure that that safety and stability is in place, because the reality is for somebody who for anybody in those teenage years, life is complicated already. Like, think about being in middle school, all the identity stuff that goes into play. And then you couple not necessarily having connection to your biological family, living in this somebody who's a stranger to you's house, things get pretty complicated. And as a parent, and as a former foster parent myself, the experience of parenting a child who you don't know whether if they get a little bit injured, like, do they overreact or underreact? Like, when they have a cold, do they get healthy in like a day or two, or does it take them longer? You don't know so much about the person that you're caring for. When things get complicated, it can be really challenging to figure out how to best care for the person. And so what happens sometimes is conflict arises, and there isn't, a clear path to resolution where both the adults and the young person in the home are able to figure out how to make it work. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the easiest solution is for that young person then to move to another house, or the last solution is for that young person to move to another house. Mm-hmm. Then as a young person moves from one place to the next, more, and this is just kind of what I've gathered over the years of doing this work, is that a shell is developed almost. Of like, I don't want to let this person in because I don't know if I can trust them. I don't know if they're going to respect me. I don't know if they're going to take care of me. And so the defenses are higher, which then leads to even more complication.
Mm-hmm. So what's kind of, you alluded to it a little bit. You said there are some organizations in place, but as far as like the solution to maybe creating a little bit more stability for these foster kids, what would you say would be the best way to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the solution has to start with providing more support to biological parents, and moving really upstream and making sure that that families in poverty have access to jobs and healthcare and the things that limit all the psychosocial stressors that go into creating child abuse in the first place. But second to that, I think having the 24/7 support, having professionals who are able to listen to the foster parent and understand what they're going through, and listen to the young person, understand what they're going through, and try to mediate or find a middle ground, a common ground, and know that like there's somebody there who is who is close to the home, who's able to support the home, is really a part of the solution, and oftentimes is able to address things early before they get too complicated, where there isn't any other resolution.
Mm-hmm. And we have a foster parent with us in the house, in Susan. And what was your motivation to becoming a foster parent, Susan?
Well, I've been with Boys and Girls Aid for going on 12 years in March, and so I've worked in all the different aspects of the programs we umbrella, and I've seen the different populations we worked with, and I don't typically do a lot in the evenings and different things, and so I'm like, why not help out? Because you see the need for the foster homes. They're not enough. They're not long term. They burn out really quickly and things like that. And so I was approached by the agency to become a foster parent, and that's where I started.
Mm-hmm. And Nick, you have interacted with people who have opinions about youth in foster care. What are maybe some misconceptions that you could kind of speak to?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, if you watch movies or TV shows, there's not a lot of really positive portrayals of foster parents or youth in foster care. And so I think that is kind of the kind of overarching view, is that there's some stigma associated with being a kid in foster care, with teens in foster care. I think there's even more so. There's this belief that teens in foster care are at risk or troubled or disturbed or delinquent, and really they're in foster care almost always due to no wrongdoing of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Now that also kind of goes into play where there's a belief that there is enough resource, enough support from the state to be able to help kids in foster care. And again, the reality is that that isn't true. There's been some recent investments being made to better support kids in the foster care system, but the funding isn't there. And then the general support of our community, wrapping our arms around kids who are growing up who are in the foster care system, there are communities' kids. Mm-hmm. And we need to do a better job rallying together to make sure that kids and young adults have all the supports they need, because at the end of the day, kids in foster care are kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they're leaders and scholars and artists and athletes and mm-hmm. Future entrepreneurs who just need every opportunity to be successful. And we as a community need to rally behind supporting young folks in the system.
Mm-hmm. So this is Nick, Angel, and Susan joining us. And then Angel, so you were eventually connected with a foster parent in a foster home. Were you able to find some stability? Just what was that experience like for you? I mean, did you feel relief? Did you feel excitement? Just how did that feel, and how did that play out in the first place?
I was I was kind of hesitant at first because, like I said before, I was in and out of foster homes that I didn't get along with them or they didn't exactly accept me. My mom kind of took it slow and didn't right away judge me for what was on my files. She didn't force me to explain myself or my experience. And she slowly got to know me. I slowly got to know her. And she started helping me make plans to be successful in life. Mm-hmm. And I guess when I realized that she was there to help me and to accept me, I felt really relieved. And I realized that I finally found my home. Mm-hmm. I found a person that I could call mom. Mm-hmm. And who accepted me.
And so what were some of the things that you wish maybe adults would have been able to teach you growing up? I imagine you kind of had to learn on the fly a lot of different life experiences and skills and at a super young age, which can be challenging when you're just trying to, you know, stay in school and have good social experiences with friends and things like that. I mean, what are some of those skills that you wish you'd been taught at an early age that you think a lot of the foster care kids should be taught when they're in these homes?
Not to give up on yourself. Being in foster care can kind of put you down and make you feel lost. And so when you feel lost, you lose yourself completely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you start giving up on school, you start giving up on finding friends, you start giving up on loving people. And I would have appreciated someone to tell me that, yes, life isn't sunshine and rainbows, but it will get better and not to give up.
Mm-hmm. And I think this next question is something you guys could all answer from your own perspective, just as far as what is it about that support that, Susan, you were just talking about helps foster kids succeed in life and helps them kind of get to a next step? What is it about that support from the foster parents, you know, that genuine support and teaching of life skills that really helps kids develop into who they want to be or who they can become?
I guess it's that it takes a little bit of chaos out of their life if they can take care of their own basic needs one day. And it sets them up to show that they can succeed in things with the support and consistency from somebody.
Angel?
I agree with her. learning the small things, you start realizing that you can really get out there and actually learn things. Mm-hmm. And once you learn the small things, you kind of start challenging yourself to learn, you know, a lot bigger and useful things is what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
That will really get the person or youth somewhere in life as they get older.
Kind of on the right track. Nick, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, at Youth Progress, we talk a lot about how the relationship and the engagement has to come before any teaching can actually happen. Again, for us, it starts with safety and stability. Mm-hmm. You have to create an environment in which a young person can feel safe and be safe and can experience some stability. Having been through different homes, it can be destabilizing. And then beyond that, it's about hope. Mm-hmm. It's about optimism. It's about belief. Mm-hmm. Like, again, creating that sense of belonging. Like, all of that has to come first. And that's where then, like, the true work can begin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And then just kind of big picture, Nick, the ideal foster care system for kids to achieve that goal of creating hope and belief, what would you say that is?
Yeah, that's a big question. I think there's a lot of great folks in the state working on that. And I think a piece of it is really thinking about outcomes and what does success look like and how do we measure success as a system. When we look at the public funding invested into the child welfare system, we look at the support that comes through philanthropy and through supportive individuals throughout our community, there's a lot of effort that goes in to working with youth in the foster care system. And there is not a lot of really solid outcome data of, did this young person get their needs met? Did this young person make it to high school, do this for young person, get to college and graduate. Like, we need to challenge ourselves to do more, and that just good enough isn't good enough when we're talking about the lives of young people in our community. And so really being able to look at, you know, what is truly best for each child, not what's easiest for the adults, which unfortunately happens at times, or what quote-unquote resources can allow for. And what I mean by that is that, you know, within the youth that we serve, through Foster Plus agencies, oftentimes when a young person starts doing well enough, they then have to think about moving to a different home at times because they need a kind of a forever family. And by design, we're not necessarily providing that. And so that causes another transition for a young person into another person's home at times. And so I think we can be creative. There's a lot of solutions out there. We're in a time of great innovation across, you know, all the different disciplines and industries. And there's a great opportunity within foster care and the way in which we do foster care in our state to be more innovative and creative and really prioritize what's best for kids.
No, that's a very, very good answer. Okay, this is a question for everyone. Let's start with Angel, though. What would you say that are some things that people in this room can do to better help children in foster care? I mean, you guys all have different perspectives with a foster child and a foster mom and then a guy who's kind of leading the effort. What would you say that people in this room can do to help, you know, improve the overall foster care process for everyone involved?
Yeah. I know that foster youth are provided resources once they are, like, transitioning out of foster care. But I don't think that it's introduced them, a majority of the foster youth. So they're kind of stuck. They learned all these things, but they don't have help to actually get out there. So I think kind of expanding the resources and actually providing maybe, I don't know, a packet or kind of meeting with them and helping them get adjusted to the world after their transition.
So some kind of some instructions there.
I
think that's a good answer. Susan, what about you from the foster parent perspective?
I think it's great that Angel is talking a lot of panels, making sure that her, you know, her voice is being heard for changes, for people to increase all those things. And I think it's just important to continue to express to kids to advocate for your needs in the appropriate manners. Seek out people that can help guide that trek up the big hill that they're trying to go over. From a foster parent perspective, I think it's just being supportive and continuing to keep in contact with the ones that leave if they need any support. I know there are a few that we still talk with that have left our home. We don't always keep in touch with all, which would be awesome, but reality is that it doesn't happen, but we're always there if they reach out to us. And I just think it's all these initiatives that they're coming up with to expand the knowledge and things around helping kids in need is important. Just keep, like, the radio station saying what we need kind of thing and getting it out there.
That's well said. And then, Nick, if you could just kind of follow up with your perspective.
I think three things. One is that, you know, complicated problems take complicated solutions. And so we need to take the time to really rethink how we can do this better. And that takes some effort in what's kind of seen as a crisis-driven workspace, a crisis-driven system. And so, you know, being able to both solve the problems of today and plan for a better tomorrow, like, we have to make time for that. Second, and I think a key part of this is to make sure that the right voices are around the table, the right voices are involved of young adults and adults who have grown up in the foster care system. There's a lot of amazing folks who have had the chance to meet who are leaders in this work who grew up in foster care, and making sure that they're, you know, they're strong at the table and help to guide, you know, what decisions are, because they've had that lived experience and often had that professional experience as well to be able to create good solid solutions. And the third, simple, it's vote. Right? Really vote based on, you know, what your priorities are. And if we prioritize kids in our state, vote for folks who do. We prioritize kids in our country, vote for people who do.
All right. Those are all very good points, and I appreciate that, you guys. So there are a lot of things that need changing in order to improve the foster care system in Oregon, like you guys were just alluding to. You just mentioned vote as one of the, you know, actions. But if you guys could all, maybe we'll start with Susan and then just go this way. Just one thing that really comes to your mind as far as what we could all do to really improve the foster care system in the state of Oregon.
if you have a big heart and want to help, reach out to somebody and talk with them about what it takes to foster care. You'd be surprised how easy it actually can be to open your doors to somebody in need.
Okay. Angel?
I also think that we need more foster parents, and do see that a lot of foster parents are mainly focused on younger youth, you know, younger than 12 or 13, and there is a lot of need for foster homes for older teenagers that need help as well, because there is homeless youth out mm-hmm. there that are becoming homeless because they don't have welcoming arms to go to.
Mm-hmm. And Nick, just one thing that kind of comes to mind.
Get involved in whatever way makes sense for you. It may be talking with a Foster Plus agency about the potential of becoming a foster parent. It may be volunteering. It may be, you know, connecting, you know, with your church or with, you know, your community groups to donate, or to find a local group in your area that is working with kids in foster care, and show support however best you can.
All right, you guys. Well, we really appreciate you guys coming on and sharing your mature and brave perspectives on a problem that really matters and that affects our community. Thank you so much for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We were talking today with Susan, Angel, and Nick from Foster Plus. Metroscope is an Entercom Radio Portland Public Affairs program. I'm Preston Highfield. If you're involved with a nonprofit or public affairs organization, or if you have an idea for an upcoming show, I'd like to hear from you. Visit metroscopepdx.com and submit your ideas. You can also go to this station's website and submit your information there. Thanks for listening to Metroscope, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.